We are back. How's it going, everybody? 7:16 here on a Monday morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. It's JR. Simmer is back from holiday alongside Hammer. We got a busy rest of the show coming up. We're here till 11 o'clock again this morning. Got World Cup soccer coming up for you then. Brazil and Switzerland. That's a interesting match coming up at 11. We'll do a live listen into the 8 a.m. match as well. But in the meantime, Dave Poulin will be by. We'll talk about the Sens 3-2 overtime win in L.A. with Dave. And well, we'll talk about it in just a second as well. Gordon Smith, our soccer analyst, will be by. We'll examine Canada, Croatia yesterday as Canada falls and is eliminated from moving on from group stage. And then Duke Ellingson will be by in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk some football with Duke. Didn't even get to Sunday night game in the first hour. So Philadelphia Eagles handled the Green Bay Packers 40-33. I'm not going to go on and on and on about the 10-1 Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that the old JR might have been accused of.
No, but I know. How can you not be a fan of the Eagles? And also,
it's a great question, no, Simmer. Let's ponder that.
No, but I'm just again the quarterback kind of the situation as far as cheering against, but. I do not like Aaron Rodgers, so I got to be honest that, the fact that Jalen Hurts, what was it, a record he set in the first quarter, JR, for a quarterback in rushing yards?
They actually have a record for most rushing yards in a quarter?
Oh, of course they do. They have something for everything.
Well,
but
exactly.
He had 130 or something, or 103?
Well, 157 overall, which is the fifth most a quarterback has ever had in a game.
Okay.
In NFL history, and it was part of 363 yards they had on the ground. Wow. I don't think, I've said this before, doesn't matter what level of football you're talking about.
Yeah.
There is nothing more dispiriting as a fan of a team mm-hmm. than when the other team takes it and runs it down your throat.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
saying, we're going to run the ball and you're not going to be able to stop it. Yeah. Like if I'm a Packer fan this morning, I'm just feeling like, oh, yeah. that's just because it's kind of, I don't know, it appeals to your kind of inner sort of, I don't know what it is, but it's just, it's kind of like it's yeah. mano a mano and, our mano is better than your mano,
yeah.
and
oh,
we're
yeah.
you know, physically just taking it to you.
Yeah, and also agree, and it's funny, historically, I mean, would you agree, would Randall Cunningham have been the first kind of running dual-threat quarterback here in the NFL?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's the first, but yeah, the first to really kind of bump it up to the extreme
yeah.
that he did.
Yeah, know, and sure. a great athlete, but when you watch Hurts, and even in watching you know, some of the other quarterbacks, Josh Allen, it's not just these guys now, the way they're built, JR, are so different than even as recent as RG3, right? Where you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to get pummeled. These guys are built like running backs. They're just massive athletes. And yeah, it is actually a lot of fun to watch. And you're right, because you also don't see, at least it doesn't feel like there's as much of that pounding old school John Riggins down the middle like there used to be, right?
You know, John Riggins. Wow, old school reference.
No, I know, because hey? Because that was that was the old back where, you know, you basically knew what he was going to do, and it didn't matter. Hey, you had the Hogs in there, and you had old John just a givener, and now it feels like tactically it's hard to run the middle. Everyone's interior defense feels like it's better than it used to be.
Yeah. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He left the game in the third quarter last night. Here's Aaron on that.
Yes, ribs. And it was in the first half, and then got kind of reactivated in the third quarter. Just had a hard time breathing and rotating my upper body, so I was worried about a punctured lung as well. So I want to get that checked out.
Had a hard time breathing, worried about a punctured lung. Probably pretty good reason to pull yourself out of the game at that point, or for the team doctors to do so. So he left, did not return. He said, Packers are 4-8. They're pretty much done. But he said, as long as they're not mathematically eliminated, he would like to continue playing. Mm-hmm. What is and I think the coach in Green Bay, it basically said, yeah, I guess we'll do that. But boy, if you're Green Bay, I mean, Jordan Love came in at the end of the game and looked much better. Mm-hmm. Again, it's you know somewhat. I wouldn't say it's garbage time. They were still kind of in the game. But Jordan Love looked a lot better than he has in either the first two seasons. He looked like a much better quarterback, much more settled in. And, of course, at some point, the torch is going to be passed, at the be it at the end of this season or maybe in a season from now, from Rodgers to Love. And if you're Green Bay and you're out of it this year, would it not be better for the long-term viability of the team to pass the torch now if he's going to be the quarterback?
Well, and just given the experience, JR, I mean, you got five games left. And, yeah, absolutely. And to that, whether it's a game or not, you're still coming in differently. And we see this with starting goaltenders, quarterbacks. It is different to prepare and start a game. Now, what I can't figure out if you're Jordan Love, whether or not having Aaron Rodgers around and you're starting is actually going to help you or not. I'd love to know kind of behind the scenes, because there's also whatever receiver, I apologize, I just saw the highlight of him running across the middle, now has 6 touchdowns in 3
Christian
games.
Watson.
And so, you know, some of these young receivers, I'm sure some of them would be thrilled to also see them turn the page, right? Has not been the best working conditions with Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, behind the scenes, I'd be real curious. But absolutely, you'd want to give him the reps. And there's just not a big, even looking kind of big picture at Aaron Rodgers being older, why play him? But you also know for him, I don't think that he would handle that or be a big, be awfully thrilled if all of a sudden he's not starting.
You're paying him $50 million.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So there, that's the other side of the equation. Do you put your $50 million quarterback on the bench? Yeah. And really, the other issue for Green Bay is going to be, and then we'll get off and move to the Sens here in just a second, but is if you're his new contract that he got in the offseason, if he's not with the team next year, they're going to have to bite a huge salary cap hit to not have him on the team next year. That's part of the issue as well.
Okay.
So anyway, Eagles win 40-33 over the Packers in the Sunday night game. The Monday night game is the Steelers and the Colts, which maybe and I know there's a huge number of Steeler fans out there. Is it just me or do the Steelers seem to play an inordinate amount of primetime games this year, and of all the years for them to really stink? This seems to be the year. Boy, it's like, oh, the Steelers are playing a primetime game again. Great.
Yeah, and then how
they're really bad and really boring.
And also in the offseason, JR, with Big Ben retiring, and I don't know how you didn't see it, but I guess much like, and certainly for the entire Eagles division, but I'll say from a Raiders Steelers, right? Historically, it appears that you have Steeler fans all over the place. But when you also talk about a fairly anonymous and boring football team right now, you put the Steelers on that for the Colts. Yeah, I don't think anybody has any interest to watch that right now other than the new coach.
All right. That's why we'll have that game for you right here on TSN 1200, 7:30 pregame, kickoff shortly after 8. And that will wrap up week 12 in the NFL. All right, 7:23. Let's take you back to early this morning, out in Los Angeles. Sens wrapping up the 4-game road trip against the Kings. Had lost the first 2 on the road, of course, won the game in Anaheim. Was it going to be a 500 road trip and you're feeling a little bit better based on the fact that you won the last 2, or were you coming home kind of tail between your legs, losers of 3 or 4? This one goes to overtime.
Here's Shabbat back of his own net, and he is hassled by Kempe. Giroux has to come back to secure the puck, shovels it out to center. Here's a breakaway chance, busting in, Giroux, backhand forehand. Scores! The overtime winner from Claude Giroux!
Oh, Dean, what a pass this was from Tim Stützle. And this happens very, very quickly. 20 seconds into the period.
There you go. There's Dean and Gord with the call. Yes, 20 seconds into overtime. Claude Giroux won the faceoff. The Sens never lost possession, although there's a bit of a almost calamity behind their own net, but eventually Tim Stützle ended up with it. And that pass was a backhand pass. from behind his own goal line, and Giroux had blown the zone in L.A. I don't know. You're playing man on man when you don't have the puck and 3-on-3, and I don't know what was going on there, but Giroux was all by himself. He had all kinds of time to make a beautiful deke.
Yeah.
And well, I think Jonathan Quick's still looking for the jockstrap, as they say, out on the ice. Giroux gets the game winner, Sens win 3-2.
I think he's watching some Eric Carlson tape, because I thought Carlson earlier in the season had a similar play there in tight, beautiful. And in that particular case, and first of all, Giroux is, you know, come as advertised here, putting up the points in a non-conference game, and realistically where you're at, I guess it's the funny part. If you get burnt on that and you're like, no, you end up going 1-2-1, whatever. But it did end up working. All of a sudden you're 500 for the road trip and ends up being a beauty. And for, you know, a lot of people commenting on Stützle, his ability to outshift Mr. Kopitar is awfully impressive right there, too, is one of the better defensive players. And find that, it was just a gorgeous goal.
And overall, it was a solid performance from Ottawa.
Yep.
I mean, there's, you know, as we've said many times, they played 21 games so far this season. There are games that you don't play well in that you win. There are games you don't play well in that you lose. We've seen the more than fair share of that for Ottawa.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there's games that you do play well in that you lose, and there's games you do play well in that you win. And I would put that one, if people are following along at home, I think. Why are you laughing?
Hang on. I don't know. There were a lot of situations.
Yeah, I think that was pretty straightforward and well explained by me. Anyway, to finish my point, there are games in which you play well in that you win, that you deservedly win. And I thought the Sens were the better team on the game last night. They outshot LA both overall and 5-on-5, like decisively outshot them 5-on-5. Carried the play. Considering it's the end of a road trip, you're probably looking forward to getting home. It has been a overall not a great first 20 games of the season.
Sure. Yeah.
That was a really good effort for Ottawa. And as I said, going into the weekend, I really thought that this was going to be a big weekend for DJ Smith going into this weekend. You know, 0-2 on the road trip, tied for last overall. I think this weekend for the here and now, I think might have been a job saver for him. I think if they lose the two games on the weekend, I think we might have been talking about a coaching change this week.
Yeah, you certainly arrive at a point, JR, and just about any circumstance other than a John Cooper or, hey, when you start to go on a losing streak, things can turn around for just about any sports franchises. You know, you're susceptible, and totally agree. And I also look at a game like that, absolutely. And was it Friday afternoon they played in Anaheim, JR?
Yeah.
So between that, nice spacing. You know, it's nice that you didn't have the back-to-back. But that Sunday night late game, and I know they've been on the West Coast for a little while, but it just feels like, man, end of the week, end of the trip. No, I think that's a real gutsy effort. What is interesting, I'll do a bit of a calculation. They started their season on the 13th of October, and as we approach the end of November, and I'm going to do just a quick calculation that's 48 days, JR. I think they will have played 22 games. It would be interesting to look at the next 48 days and see how many games, because in December alone, as you pointed out, I think they've got 15 and 31 days, which is every second night. So unfortunately, at 8-12-1, probably the most favorable portion of your schedule has now ended or will end on Wednesday. And then I think the rubber really hits the road as far as the schedule and how they're going to be able to handle that.
Yeah, well, they play their first back-to-backs all season.
Yeah.
Coming up later on this week. They've got the Rangers are here Wednesday. That's the next game. And then they're at the Rangers on Friday, and then they're home to San Jose on Saturday. So they play Friday, Saturday, will be the first back-to-back. So find out at Forsberg. They said it was a relatively minor injury that he suffered. That's what caused Mandalize to be called up from Belleville, and he backed up on the weekend. Sounds like it's not a longer-term thing for Forsberg, so maybe he'll be good to go by the end of the week, and that would allow them to go Talbot Forsberg in the two games back to back. But I think for the here and now, Talbot's been in there the last two games. He's provided good goaltending. I think right now, you're riding the hot hand as far as the goalie goes. And I think there's no doubt right now that Talbot has established himself as the number one goalie.
Yeah. Gosh. And you talk about also coming into the two game set, JR, was 1-5. But when you also look at his goals against in comparison to Forsberg, and save percentage has actually been very good. And I agree. And also to Forsberg, who plays a very athletic style, is not all over the place, but he's just more aggressive, where Talbot is a little calmer. He's been battling something, I think, almost the entire season, is he not? I feel like it's early in that we've heard about a bit of a lower body thing, so if it's had a bit of a nagging injury, situations here, if you're only focused on possibly playing Friday or Saturday, get yourself healthy, that might be something that they're looking at. But yeah, you certainly get into a spot here where you would like to. And not that Talbot can't play 3 out of 4 nights, but preferably in today's National Hockey League, you don't do that.
Yep. So 3 back-to-backs, by the way, in the month of December. And as you mentioned, they play, well, let me just look, 3, 7, 10, and 5. Yeah, 15 games in 31 days in December.
Yeah.
So and that includes Christmas break of 3 days as well.
Exactly.
So, there's a lot of games. And you knew at some point when you have a favorable schedule and you don't play a lot of games, everybody plays 82 games over the same amount of days. So at some point, it's going to come back, and you're going to see the other side of it. And for Ottawa, it starts this week and later on this week and this month when the schedule starts to get a lot heavier.
And that's the interesting part, and I don't even have an answer. I kind of have a gut feeling on how it's going to go from an Ottawa perspective, but you do look at some teams and some things, and this is the other thing you look at, JR, right now. I know it sounds funny as we just finish off November. This is where it's like, okay, this is probably the last time we're going to practice this year, and I'm joking, but I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, hey, now all it is about is playing and getting into a rhythm, and, you know, for some teams, that's where they just kind of find a sweet spot. I'm not confident necessarily that Ottawa is built for that right now, but we shall see.
Here's Brady Tkachuk on trying to make up ground in the standings.
We've always believed that we could make up some ground on some teams. It's, like I said earlier this morning, it's we weren't getting rewarded for some of the hard work that we put in. So for tonight to get rewarded, hopefully that's the trend that continues moving forward. And winning's always fun. It's going to get cliche here, but you can't sit on this one. We got to keep getting better and focus on the next one here coming up.
There is Brady Tkachuk, who opened the scoring for Ottawa last night and had a very good road trip overall. He was front and center in a lot of, especially the last two games from the Sens perspective. If you watched that game on Friday when he came to the defense when Jake Sanderson got cross-checked by Ryan Strome, and Strome turns around, and listen, it was a blatant cross-check. He takes down a rookie, and he turns around, and Tkachuk is there, and we have to, you have to, if you haven't seen the clip of it, you got to find it, because Strome's not a fighter, right?
No.
And he's like,
oh man,
I got to do this.
I didn't realize you were on the ice.
Tkachuk skates over, and you can imagine the conversation. Yeah. Okay, you're going to have to fight me now. And you're like, oh, darn it. Why did I do that? And, to his credit, he dropped the gloves, and, he stood in there, and he took a couple of big rights, but yeah, there's just that moment when he turns around and you can just see the disappointment in himself in his face.
Well, and you're also...
I'll tweet this out because I haven't seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He's just wearing it on his
priceless.
Sleeve. No, he's not hiding it at all.
He kind of gives him a bit of a jab, like, just give me a little bit of space here. Let me catch my breath. Hey, you know, and also, and there's times where, you know, you're frustrated and that looked just like a kind of a tired, lazy play, Jer. But also, like, you don't really have, like, if you're Strome, you're not really mad right now, right? Like, even, you know, even the lesser tough guys, sometimes your adrenaline, you know, you see with Crosby or the star players once in a while, they just get so fired up. In this case here, you're like, man, I'm probably at the end of a shift. I don't have any adrenaline, and now you got to go and get it. But as far as Brady Tkachuk, he leads by example, has played tremendous hockey, and his quotes so far, he's become very captain, which I totally understand. I mean, that's the world that we're in, and I like it, but... Man, oh, man, this guy is a great young leader, and just like last year, has had a really, really nice start to the season, and that is probably the least of the Sens worries right now, and he's really, again, he's done everything you possibly could ask from a young captain.
His point about talking about making up ground in the standings, we believe we can make up ground in the standings as we sit here this morning. If we're talking about eighth place in the conference, the last playoff spot. Ottawa begins this week and this day 8 points behind Pittsburgh and Tampa right now that are tied for the two wildcard spots. 8 points back, and as we said, they have passed the most favorable part of their schedule, both in terms of spacing out of games, no back-to-backs. They had a fair number of home games, although that's pretty close to even now. But the first 17, they had 11 at home, so they really... They kick themselves in the backside, really, with the start of this season, and it's just so hard to make up room. It is to make up ground, I should say. With there's so much parity in the league to begin with, and every game there are no. I mean, you don't look at anything right now except maybe a game against Anaheim. Even Arizona's, provides pretty good opposition most nights. You don't look at any game and you go, okay, that's a breather game. That's a game in which if we go out and play our game, we're guaranteed to win the game. Like you just don't feel that way. That the league is so even. Maybe more so this year than I've ever seen it before. Well, every game seems like it's a one-goal game.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And you also, Jer, and this is the start of the season, and the two parallels would be where St. Louis was at. And we kind of talked about Craig Berube, and I kind of know, I know the dynamics of people there, and not just because he won a cup, but I thought, you know what? They were going to, I'd be shocked. It would have to go so sideways. They stayed the course, and right now they wake up after Thanksgiving. They're tied or they're in the last wildcard spot where you could see that with that group because we know they've kind of been there and done that. There haven't been that many changes to that group, and sure enough, they've gotten themselves over 500. From an auto perspective, you can look at it a lot of different ways. You can say, you know what, 8 points, not a ton, but you also look at the teams around you in the standings, and unfortunately for me, you kind of are what you are. And what I would look at, unfortunately, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here on a Monday morning after my vacation, but if you say you're 8 points out after the first quarter, my thought is you're probably going to be 32 points out when the season ends. And that's just my honest take. I don't really feel like this is a decent team, but I haven't seen anything yet. And this is also me being away for a week. I'll watch this week. But I don't necessarily feel like this is going to trend in some incredible direction and all of a sudden they're going to, just run off 8 or 10 wins. Unfortunately, that's just not my take.
Yeah. Last two games, though, have been much improved. Yeah. I mean, they played well. They deserved to win the games and they won both the games. And they played well 5-on-5, maybe most importantly. So there's that. Do you honestly think that they're going to finish, if the playoffs, last year, the playoff, last playoff team in the East was 100 points and everybody said, that's because there was haves and have-nots last year, and that maybe playoffs this year. Let's just use 95 as the number for eighth place in the East. Do you really think that Ottawa's only going to get 63 points this year?
No, I don't at all, Jer. I'm just making the analogy of there's teams that'll trend towards. I'd say, wow, I think he could probably make up the ground. No, I don't think that. I kind of said, hey, going into the year, I thought they'd finish north of 500. I think realistically that they'll find enough. They'll do enough that I think they could be a 500 hockey team. I think they could be around 80 points. But what's also very interesting, I don't have the standings from last year, you know, that difference of now, as you said, in a close league, JR, that 100-point team to the 90-point team to the 80-point team, you know, that used to be kind of a decent season. That's not the case anymore, right? Like, there's the awful teams like Anaheim, and then there, you know, there's a group there that are in and around 500 that really doesn't, that's not a mark of a great season.
By the way, I'm looking at our preseason prognostications for standings and award winners and Stanley Cup champion, et cetera, et cetera. We both predicted season point totals for the Sens.
Yeah.
You had the Sens for 87 points.
Okay.
And I had the Sens for 88 points.
Okay.
So they are not nearly on a pace for that right now. Yeah. But
I will say
maybe this past weekend was a harbinger of a little better hockey.
But I know from the predictions, one thing I'll be honest and I'll say, don't sleep on my Bruins and my Devils. Those are the...
Let me check these predictions again because I've written them down. Let's see here. Well, you did have the Bruins finishing ahead of Florida.
Yeah, I know.
You had them for third place in the Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
So well done on that one. Now, I'm trying to find your pick of the Devils. I don't seem to see that anywhere.
I don't think I had them or the Islanders, did
no,
I?
No, I did. I had the Islanders and the Devils both making the playoffs. Nice. I did not have the Bruins, though. That was a big miss on my part.
But I don't think in my wildest dreams, though, it was as much for Monty wanting to do well. But, yeah, certainly didn't predict the start that they'd end up having.
No. And meanwhile, right now, I got to look at this this morning. I think Florida right now is on the outside looking in. What are they traded? Their next 17 years worth of first-round draft picks? It has been not a great start to the season record-wise for the Florida.
And it's funny because Matthew Tkachuk versus, I think, Huberdeau. I don't think we've even talked about it, but the Huberdeau thing doesn't feel like it's going well in Calgary, does
no,
it, Jer?
No, it's not. No.
I don't feel like, you know, and again, we kind of wonder with Johnny Hockey, but it doesn't feel like with the coach. But Matthew Tkachuk has actually gone in and played very well in Florida, right?
Yeah. The rest of the team, unfortunately, record-wise, it's been, I will say, so far. All right, 7:38, your thoughts on the Sens game last night, Sens weekend, where we're at. We're at the quarter pole now. We'll kind of delve into your thoughts as we carry on through the morning. Get the thoughts of Dave Poulin as well when he joins us coming up after 8. When we come back, Canada at the World Cup. How are you feeling this morning? Like, are you just still on cloud nine after they got the goal? Are you severely disappointed that all the buildup and all the hype and we're going home after the game on Thursday and maybe not even have a point? And we'll get into all of that when we return on a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us. We hope you had a nice weekend. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. On this Monday morning, JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Sens win late night on the left coast. Wrap up the road trip with a 3-2 victory in overtime in L.A. Claude Giroux with the game winner. So the Sens come back home 2-2 on the road trip, and they face the New York Rangers at home on Wednesday. Back to New York for a return game on Friday at Madison Square. And then Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks are here on Saturday. Ottawa's first set of back-to-back games all season, Friday and Saturday of this week. Okay, let's get to the World Cup because certainly yesterday, if you think to yourself 24 hours ago at this time, you were all about, okay, where am I watching the big soccer game today, right? Am I gathering around with family and friends? Am I going to a bar or whatever? Am I watching it by myself so I make sure I can see and hear everything? Chances are that more than a few of you maybe weren't directly in your seat at 11 o'clock because they kick off the game right at 11, and you may have missed this.
Buchanan with the cross in towards Alfonso Davies! He missed the penalty in the opener. He makes amends today. Canada's history-making moment delivered by their biggest superstar. A goal the country has been dreaming about for decades finally arrives.
Certainly an iconic moment. Luke Wildman with the call on TSN television yesterday. Great call, great goal, great moment. Great. Because it didn't get much better from there. It was the highest of highs. And then as the match went on later in the first half, you're kind of going, is it just me or does Croatia seem to have the ball all the time? You're kind of looking at your whoever you're watching the game with. And my wife, I'm watching the game with my wife. We're at home.
Yeah.
And my wife, I would absolutely park in the bandwagon fan zone.
Yeah.
You'd be proud of her, Simmer.
Awesome.
Absolutely jumping in. Loves all about Team Canada. And as the match is going on, as Croatia's dominating and starting to score, all of a sudden she's just literally dropping F-bombs. All that, like, she's just like F, like indiscriminately, not at any individual. It's just like, argh! Like constantly as it's 1-1, 2-1, 3-1. 4-1, and then I don't even think she was there for the end of the match.
It was interesting because we were watching with the boys, and Mira was there, and I started the match off with, first of all, after the goal, I'm just, you know, all the endorphins are kicking in, and I'm talking about all the different players for Canada that are going to be sold all over the world, and all the transfer fees, and how great we are, and now we're getting the respect, and then it's kind of moving on, and then she takes over and just starts getting fired up on every play, and then Maddie came in, and he didn't like our keeper. He just thought he's terrible. Yeah, he didn't think he was good.
Jogging pants?
Yeah, didn't think. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, this is just their analogy. But it was interesting what kind of, as it evolved, there was quite a bit of emotion there that generally happens, as you said, when it comes to national sports and just the excitement of it.
It started great for Canada, but as the game went on, I think even the most optimistic of fans watched it and went, well, we may have deserved to win the game versus Belgium, but did not deserve to win that game yesterday. No. Croatia was by far the better side, and with the loss, and now the two losses combined, Canada is eliminated from moving on at the tournament. So they'll finish it off against Morocco on Thursday. Now, there'll be some motivation for a couple of different reasons. First of all, to get at least a point, if not a first win ever at a World Cup, because we've had neither of those so far in five games. But secondly, if it means anything to them, to play spoiler, because Morocco, after beating Belgium yesterday, has played themselves into a tie for top spot, and they can move on out of the group stage if they get a result against Canada. Yeah. So it's a big game for Morocco, and for Canada, you look to maybe spoil somebody else's fun. That's all. That's what you have left at this stage.
Yeah, and kind of thankful, JR, that it's not both teams at the bottom, right, that we kind of thought, at least going in, well, it's going to be Croatia and Belgium. Yeah, the fact that it does mean something, and what you take from the tournament, of course, is a growth. But as you go through the CONCACAF, and obviously I don't think the CONCACAF record so far in the tournament has been overly strong, in winning that and just having it, and was it Ecuador we played in the preseason, JR, one of our tune-up games, or... we end up playing a very good team. My point being...
Uruguay.
It's just a good measuring. Like, that game yesterday, without a doubt, humbling, you can call it, but I look at it from a program standpoint, just the realization, because this is different than the 80s where we are truly happy to be there. And even at that time, nobody thought, wow, you know, we're on the verge of something special. You know, we have a long ways to go, and I think it's great for the athletes in the program to realize, hey, you went up against one of the very best in a lot of areas there. You just got completely schooled, like from a skill level, tactical level. That was men against boys yesterday. And it was almost, I want to say, a relief, because if he had lost a close one, you'd say what could have been. Yeah, man, they were not even close yesterday by the time the final whistle went.
So much had been made of John Herdman's post-match comments after Canada lost to Belgium, looking ahead to the game with Croatia, when he said, yada, 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 F Croatia. Yeah. And certainly the Croatian media and fan base took that to heart, and apparently so did the players and the coaching staff. After the game, Andrej Kramaric, who had two of the Croatian goals in the game, said, quote, I want to thank the Canada coach for the motivation. In the end, Croatia demonstrated who effed whom. Meanwhile, the coach, Zlatko Dalic, said, quote, I did not see the other coach after the match. He was not there, and that's his way of doing things. He is a high-quality professional, but it will take some time for him to learn some things, end quote. So that from the Croatian side. Here is John Herdman post-match on if he has regrets over the comments.
There's a respect there for Croatia, and as I keep saying, you know, we're here to push as far as we can as a team. We're here to change the mentality of the group. You know, I could have been a little bit more composed coming out of the huddle, but I mean, that's my learning. I'll take that on the chin. But from a mindset point of view, I think we showed in that first 25 minutes that, you know, little old Canada can't compete with the best in the world.
All right. So, Simmer, you weren't here last week on holiday. Had you heard about Herdman's comments at any point last week?
Obviously following. And then also the soccer. I mean, it's not hard to find the coverage here wherever you are in the world.
So when you heard him, heard those comments, and then you heard, you know, that Croatia was taking it, as a lot of countries and a lot of people would, personally. Did you think at the time, and do you think now, that John Herdman made a huge mistake there? And is that part of the reason that Canada is sitting at 0-2 right now?
Well, okay. First of all, I think Croatia, as we watched here, is a better team. Do I think he added some motivation to Croatia? Absolutely. Do I think it affected the Canadian effort? No. And that can be. And at least behind the scenes, it didn't feel like all of a sudden the Canadian players were on the ropes. What did our coach do? Hey, they were just a better team. But when I did read the comments, and I always go back to the historical perspective, JR, and I know what his comments are in the big world. If you think about it, we are a population of 40 million. I don't know if people realize that Croatia is under 4 million people. This is a tiny, war-torn country and a gorgeous country in that. The pride on a historical level, I just knew as soon as it was said it was a mistake. And did it give extra motivation? Absolutely. Did it affect the outcome? No. But it wasn't. I didn't think it wasn't smart. Now, I just think at the end, Canada, it didn't take the energy, I guess, out of Canada, JR. But I think it certainly helped Croatia for sure. And they were a fired-up bunch. And it was certainly a rookie mistake by the coach.
The Robber Baron writes on text at 12-1200, it's inexcusable that Herdman didn't shake hands with a Croatian manager after the game. If another country's coach did that to Canada in an Olympic hockey medal round game, guaranteed it would be part of the post-game story. It doesn't reflect well on Herdman or Canada. That's from the Robber Baron, from Darcy. In terms of Canada's loss to Croatia, perhaps next time Canada's coach needs to shut his pie hole and think of another game plan to psych out his opponent. Yeah. All that trash talk did was inspire Croatia to prove him wrong, and they did that. Dumb approach. Yeah. That's from Darcy.
And I also, in his comments here, Jaron, I thought, and again, a little presser that I watched leading into it, I thought he handled that quite well, but didn't walk away yesterday. Okay, they got the first goal, and they were okay, but by the time Croatia figured them out, you got completely schooled. So I don't feel like this is all of a sudden we had Croatia on the ropes yesterday and we showed them. And from the post-game thing and from the coach side, you should have on lots of levels there sealed this off. You should have either, shook hands for sure. But if I was Herdman in between games here, I'd take an opportunity and I'd just say, hey, would you mind if we just met for a coffee? And I mean this very sincerely. Just go and have a talk. And hey, he was fired up. And people do say things, and this is what, like, we Canadians being disrespectful of Croatia. It was a coach just getting fired up, but I still would have sealed it off at this point. You just don't need to have something like that going around. And, yeah, absolutely you should have found him and shook his hand and said, hey, you know what? Learn from this one. Great match, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. What are your current feelings about Canada at the World Cup? Four options. Happy to be there. Happy they scored a goal. Need a result in their final game versus Morocco, or disappointed? Those are your four options. How are you feeling right now, currently, as we sit here on this Monday morning, Canada 0-2 and eliminated from moving on, but having scored a goal? Happy to be there. Happy they scored a goal. Need a result versus Morocco. Disappointed. Simmer.
I'm going to go with need a result against Morocco. I think we set it in a couple of games, played great against Belgium. I don't even want to say, well, we did play bad against Croatia. But also when we talk about the coach, I mean, I think if we were looking to this JR as a soccer nation, the way we critique hockey, when you talk about the subs and not taking, is it Hutchinson? Not taking him out. And then the other one, I'll say, I would assume people would think if you're a true soccer critic that Jonathan David has been a no-show in the first two games, would you not?
Yep.
You know, and so if we were really breaking this all down as to, you know, so I would say we need a result against Morocco. What about you?
Hammer?
As I predicted, or as my feelings were felt last week, I went against you, JR, although you don't believe you selected this, Steve Lloyd. You both thought they were going to make it to the knockout stage.
No, I didn't, but
you did because you guys.
What's
I
that
said,
count?
I'm going to be the pessimistic of this group and just say they're not going to make it out. But I said there would be entertaining. They'd score some goals.
We'll have to play that clip though of the counselor. I apologize for whatever I said. if I may have said
that I don't remember myself saying or hear myself saying. I'm happy to score the goal. I'm happy with how they're playing. I really knew that this was going to be a different level for them coming out of CONCACAF.
Really?
The World Cup. I thought it was just going to be different. And everybody was talking about the club up front, strong. Back end, weak. And Croatia completely exposed that.
I got to say, and great, it's a split all four ways, which is awesome. If I just sit here this morning and say, what's my overall feeling? I got to say, I'm a little disappointed overall. I just, And maybe part of it is born of the hype. And listen, we're part of the media machine putting this all forward. But I thought coming out of the qualification where we finished, and I know that CONCACAF is certainly not the strongest soccer playing, geographically the soccer playing area of the world. But man alive, we finished tops there for the first time ever. And with some great young players. And we're sitting here at 0-2 and we're not moving on. Has it been a good experience? And will it help for 2026? That'll be certainly be the way it's spun.
Yeah,
I understand that whole part of it. And I guess to a certain extent that will be the reality. It has also exposed the fact, to Hammer's point, of we've got some really talented players, mainly up front, but we got a lot of holes as well. And 4 years from now, we got a lot of patching to do. If we're going to get some better results, it'll help to play at home. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of work to do with this national men's program. So I'll just, if I'm being honest with myself, when that game ended yesterday, I was like, man, like we are well, and Croatia went to the final. I understand that they're a really good team and everybody I think was guilty of over, oh, the Belgians are too old. Mm. The Croatians are too, they're two teams that are long in the tooth. Well, listen. What happens with a lot of teams that are said by some to be long in the tooth, other people would say from a more positive point of view, they're experienced, been there, done that, know how to handle it. And I think both of those sides, from a Belgian team in terms of, hey, we've got a lead, we know how to protect a lead, and from a Croatia team of, we're not panicking, even though we gave up a goal in the first 2 minutes, and they gradually just took over the game and completely suffocated Canada. It just goes to show that we've still got a long way to go. And I think John Herdman, who everything he touched turned to gold, both with the women's program and with the men's program till now. I think this has been, for the first time, a misstep on his part. And hopefully, as he said, he'll learn from it as well. So my overall feeling actually is disappointed. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, and it is. I don't, kind of mix of emotions watching yesterday, Jared. And this is often, and this is because in hockey, when we get to world events, it's easy to kind of, handicap it. What I don't have, obviously, is any experience in realistically watching and going into a tournament like this. I'm kind of optimistic, but then I look around and say to myself, okay, well, if Japan beat Germany, and then I'm thinking yesterday, well, why would Costa Rica get a result against Japan? And how does Morocco get a result against Croatia? Well, they're not supposed to be any good, and then maybe we should have beat Belgium. It's just kind of all over the place. But I will say from a talent standpoint, it also does point back to the tactical part and the coaching, right? Because you would say to yourself, okay, well, how the heck did Morocco hold Croatia to nothing? It was a 0-0 draw, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what I look at. And from a Canadian perspective, like he got mopped up. Now, if it had been reversed where he played Croatia first and then played Belgium second. But, I don't disagree with some of the things that you're talking about. But I also wonder, there's lesser teams like Costa Rica finding a way to get results, right? And so you're kind of like, wow, gosh, I think we should be at least have something. You would have hoped the Moroccan game would have meant a little something, right? Going into it. So, lots of great talking points.
This text comes in to wrap up the conversation. Everyone focusing on soccer. Canada's tennis team must feel slighted. Hardly no mention they won the Davis Cup.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, it probably would have helped had the match actually been shown on television.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you guys see that?
No.
They were the other guys were showing it. They had the video feed, but they were calling it from the studio in Toronto.
Oh.
And they lost the video feed in the as
when that
Felix
happens,
was winning it. So as Canada had this historic tennis moment of winning the Davis Cup for the first time, we had the play-by-play guy and the color guy sitting at a desk with their headset on, describing it.
Oh, wow.
So it was radio on TV.
On TV. Yeah, that's how this historic Canadian moment looked.
There's no way the TSN sabotage team would have gone over there and cut the wire, would they?
All right, but true to the texture's point, absolutely. Great moment. All right, just past 8 o'clock. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. By the way, vote on our web poll question at tsn1200.ca. Canada at the World Cup, how you feeling? We'll get to Gordon Smith next hour. He'll give us his thoughts, our soccer analyst. But up next, after our top of the hour news and sports update, it is Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider. We'll talk all things NHL, including the Sens getting a big win in LA, 3-2 in overtime to wrap up the road trip. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.